you take us to a typical day in your New Hampshire retreat and let us know what it was like to live with this legend?
First of all, it wasn't a typical day. The day would depend on how well the writing was going. Mm-hmm. If it was flowing, he was angelic and saintly. If it wasn't, I lived with Satan. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about it. A phone call, if he was not writing, was the end of the world. Normally, he stopped what he was doing, picked up the phone. I never answered the phone. Why should I? It was never for me. And I was never near it anyway. It was right, you know, just arm's length away from him when he was working at his desk. So let him answer it. Keep him humble, folks. That was my motto. But no, there really wasn't a typical day. If he was writing and the writing was going, he might write all night, which meant the next day might not begin until 11 a.m. If he wasn't writing, he was probably up and had breakfast and in the office by 8.
A voracious reader.
If he wasn't writing, he was reading. Mm-hmm. And he read everything. He read science fiction. He loved historical religious books. His favorite author was Henry David Thoreau. Mm-hmm. I think that says an awful lot. Mm-hmm. He loved to read for pleasure, purely pleasure, letters from authors. There was a period of time in the 80s when that was a hot item in books, and they would always come out with two or three of them at Christmas. They were gift book type things, letters of so-and-so. Mm-hmm. And I used to track them down, and that would be his read for the next month. So that was his pleasure reading. But he read a lot of not necessarily motivational books like Dr. Peel. He read Dr. Peel, yes, and he read W. Clement Stone and Napoleon Hill. And as most of you know, he worked for Mr. Stone for a lot of years and had a beautiful, beautiful relationship with him. But he would read Maxwell Maltz, Frank Bethford. He would go back and read all the old self-help books. And he's going, why do people throw these away? Why don't people read them today? And that's what started him with the University of Success. Mm-hmm. That was how that book came about, by going into some of these great writers. And each lesson was from a different person, different author, different outlook on life, but all geared towards the joy of living, being successful, and an inner happiness.
Many don't know that Og was quite a famous speaker as well as an author. Can you talk a little bit about his speaking career?
Well, it took him a while. It took a friend of ours who was, at the time, was doing success seminars, probably 6 months to convince Og that he could speak. And Og's first program was in Houston, Texas. He appeared with Dr. Peel, W. Clement Stone, and he closed the program. He was the last speaker of the night. He did a really cute little thing. He figured if he was an author, he wasn't a speaker, so he had to have a gimmick. And for years, his basic speech would include the God Memorandum from The Greatest Miracle in the World. And he had it recorded by a wonderful man in California who was on the radio named Don Allen. And Don had a voice that did not quit. It was awesome. And Og would give his speech, and to close it, he would have them play the God Memorandum, and he would light a candle so that the whole auditorium was in darkness. And this was the voice of God giving this memorandum to the people in his audience. And when the tape was over, he would walk to the podium, blow out the candle, and his signature, God bless you, and walk off the stage. And this was how he closed that program that night. And he did that for many, many years. And then someone said to him, you know, Og, it's getting old. You need something new. And Og was not a great one for change. He had a big comfort zone. He didn't like to get out of it too often. And so then he started doing other things. And it evolved into The Greatest Secrets speech. And then his agent got on his case and said, you know, oh, this is getting old. We need something new. And then he did Target Success. Mm-hmm. And he also had another program that he would do for groups that he had been to before several times, which was basically a Q&A that he would work with an executive or someone from the company. And he would add little stories and things to, he would give them a set of questions, and he would have his stories and whatnot. And then he would open it up at the end for audience participation. And we discovered that that was really a hit because people got to talk to him. And then after a speech, all guys went to the back of the room and autographed books or mingled with people, and sometimes his speech would be over and 3 hours later I'm still standing there saying, we need to get back to the hotel sometime tonight. You know, but he's still there, giving his hugs and getting hugged. And he was a people person, and I think it showed. It came across with his presentations on stage. Definitely came across when he was back with the back of the room with the people. And because so, that's why he always asked if he could close, so that he could have this time with his people.
I've heard him described as a heart person.
Yeah. I think that's true. He had a very big heart.
And as a result, he had, of his speeches, of his writing, the books, the changes in people's lives, I understand that he received a large number of fan letters. Would you share with us what he did with those fan letters? I think the audience will be quite surprised.
Well, he answered every one of them himself.
Yeah.
Now, I grant you, it was not a long 3-page letter. It may be it might have been 3 sentences. It might have been 3 paragraphs. But he answered every letter himself. He would take one day a week, and he did nothing but fan mail on that day. And the day would vary depending on how well the writing was going. Sometimes it was 10 days between fan mail days. Sometimes it was 3. But he went through each one of them, and it's so, you know, and he would try to refer people to things and say, you know, go talk to your minister, go talk to your, you know, find yourself a professional person to help you, to give you guidance. Don't be afraid to ask for help. And that was basically his message. It's out there. You just need to ask for it. And so I tried to convey that too when I get a letter from somebody that's saying, you know, how can I succeed? Well, first of all, you succeed by trying. Don't quit.